Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a Friday. Kind of an interesting Friday in the middle of football season. There are a lot of big football games that are going to be going on, but none of them seem to involve this weekend anybody that we know around here, because Kennesaw State and Georgia Tech and Georgia and the Falcons, none of them are playing this weekend. KSU, Georgia, and Georgia Tech all off, and then the Falcons, of course, play on Monday night. So you have a chance now to kind of, you know, check out the rest of the NFL on Sunday, the rest of college football coming up on Saturday. There was an NFL game and a college game last night, Georgia State losing to Arkansas State. Also last night, Stanford beat Arizona State. The Pac-12, ooh, man, Pac-12. That's in a big world of hurt right now.
Yeah, that was a big to-do last night, the Arizona State game, because of Coach Herm Edwards coming back. You know, he was on TV, ESPN and everything. Did not tune into any of that. My focus was, well, initially it was the NBA. And, well, initially it was football first was my first one. And then it was the NBA.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We're going to save that.
No, NBA, I'm just saying it was. I had a lot going on yesterday.
I know you did. We had a busy day. The Atlanta Falcons brace for the New York Giants on Monday, and, of course, so much going on. Man, I tell you what is it with teams this year in drama? But, see, you got to guard against this. I mean, yes, the New York Giants are going through all sorts of drama, but so were the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's not forget, when the Falcons went to play the Steelers in Pittsburgh, you had the whole Le'Veon Bell, which, by the way, you still do, and Antonio Brown and Terry Bradshaw calling out Mike Tomlin, and then the Steelers managed to put all that aside for 1 week, of course, and really give the Falcons the business. Now the Giants are in that kind of a mode where they're in all kinds of drama that's going on around Eli Manning and around Odell Beckham and the owner with John Mara.
Yeah, they say that John Mara and Odell Beckham Jr., they had a conversation, or they're having a conversation. And, you know, I guess it's centered around some of the comments that Odell Beckham Jr. made.
Right, and the center of conversation is that John Mara is saying, shut up and play, right?
Yes.
I mean, essentially. And Odell's like, I don't think so. Well, but what, you know, what's John Mara going to tell him? I mean, if you're Odell, you know, you look at him and say, we're 1-5. What do you want me to do? Say, oh, everything's good?
I think it's this, John, and I know what was the comparison last week, AT, we were talking about the basketball, Jimmy Butler, when Jimmy Butler was going through his thing and how he handled it. Like, it's certain things. I understand that you're frustrated, and you're frustrated about some of your teammates or whatever being soft or not pulling their weight, but you have to realize that there's going to come a time in your career where you're not going to be pulling your weight. Like, it doesn't probably seem like that right now because you just got paid, you're the toast of New York, you know you're doing your thing. But at some point, you're going to reach the same point. If you play long enough, you're going to be in the same position that Eli's in. And, you know, all your accomplishments and your accolades, you're going to want somebody to respect that, the blood and sweat, that the sweat equity that you put into the game. And you're going to be looked at as a guy that's probably not pulling his weight by a young cat, and you're going to want him to show you the same kind of respect and courtesy that you should show somebody else. That's the problem. And Odell Beckham is he's a very candid individual. He says what's on his mind. But I think that sometimes, out of courtesy for the individual, you need to keep some of those comments to yourself.
Well, we talked about this before. The now famous or infamous situation that prior to the Packers playoff game 2 years ago, Odell took a bunch of players and they went down to Florida. And in the week before the game, instead of preparing for the Packers, they were sitting on a boat lounging with photos and Instagrams of them casting on the boat as if the season were over. And they still had a playoff game to play. And since that picture of the boat, all right, since that picture of the boat to today, as we sit here, the Giants' record is 3-20. 3-20.
Yeah. And the thing about being a professional athlete, especially playing football, your skills kind of go. It seems like, well, it felt for me, like they kind of go overnight. You know, you wake up and it's like, ah, man, I can't play anymore. So, you know, I think it should be a certain level of respect that goes along with, you know, teammates and people that have put it down in the game and now the game has passed them by. I think you should handle them a little bit differently.
All right, let's get into a little bit of the Falcons storyline. As we know, the good storyline to begin with is the injury situation might be softening a little bit for the Atlanta Falcons, okay? Just a little bit. And Grady Jarrett talking yesterday about the fact that he's going to be returning. He's practicing. He was in the locker room, all excited about the fact that he was going to be able to go on Sunday, talking to the reporters. Grady certainly looks like he is absolutely a go. He's going to be back on that defensive line alongside McClain and Sanat and alongside Derek Shelby, because the veteran Derek Shelby was talking about the fact that he, too, is going to be back. So let's start with the good news. The good news is that from end to end on the defensive line, it looks like it is a go for the Atlanta Falcons, that all of them are going to be healthy. We had a chance to spend just about 2 minutes talking about that with the veteran Derek Shelby.
Well, how are you feeling about getting back into the games?
Oh, I'm definitely excited. I mean, I was telling people kept asking me, why was I rushing? I was like, you can't be a ball player if you hurt. So I was trying to be a ball player again.
Well, you and Grady and the idea of getting this defensive line kind of back in sync here, especially now as you get into a game like this, it's got to be kind of a thrill. And the idea of trying to get maybe a little bit healthy and some good news for a change.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, getting healthy is always the key, especially with how many guys we lost. But, I mean, still, I don't want to linger on it. Injuries, we still got to go out there and execute no matter who's out there.
You're playing Monday night. Do you, by the way, Derek Shelby, you like Monday night football?
It's whatever. I mean, it's a football game. No, doesn't matter what day of the week it is. I mean, you got to go out there and perform.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a blackout. It's going to be all that kind of stuff. And so it should be an interesting game. Building off this win last week, is there a sense that this team can start to turn the momentum around a little?
We just got to take it one game at a time. You can't look ahead because that's when you end up making the mistakes that I spoke on earlier. So one game at a time, executing our defense, and then we'll be good.
Yeah, you look at this team that you're going to face. You know, Eli Manning, obviously a veteran. You faced him before. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been around a long time. A way to rattle his cage and get under his skin and kind of change things up for you?
Just for most quarterbacks, you just have to affect them. When they're back there on their spot, they're making throws, they all look good. But once you start getting them to move a little bit, they start to feel the pressure. They stop looking at the receiver, start looking at the rush. That's when you're more effective, so that's all we got to do.
Yeah, and one final thing about that, Saquon Barkley. I mean, everybody's seen him. You saw him at Penn State, now you're going to see him in person as a pro. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy that can affect the game in a lot of different ways.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's a good receiver, good running back, and we just got to go out there and attack him. Don't make it easy for him.
Yeah, try not to make it easy for Saquon Barkley. That's not necessarily an easy task. Barkley is a special kind of player.
No question about that, man. The funny thing about playing running backs, especially, well, it used to be for me, was when you meet running backs for the first time and you don't really know their power until you witness it for yourself, hopefully for them it's not that same kind of thing. Saquon Barkley is a special player.
Yeah, I would say this. I'm going to say this at my own risk here because I know a lot of fans, when I say this, I don't want you to crash your car. But if I had to pick one running back in the NFL, I'd be torn. I might lean towards Barkley over Gurley. I mean, it's real. Let's put it this way: it would be really hard to pick,
dude. John, you know what? You're kind of like the new car guy, like the newer model.
What you want, an old clunker?
No, I want something reliable. I want something reliable, uh-huh, and that has proven.
Does it have?
You know,
a
that has
out?
A pedigree. That's what it is. Uh-huh. Ty Gurley has a pedigree.
He does.
Saquon Barkley is the new production model that's come off the assembly line that hasn't had a recall yet.
Nope.
You don't know what that recall is going to be. So you like those kind of cars. No, I like to wait a few years before I start making those proclamations. But still, he's a good back. No question about that. I think he's a special player. But the verdict is still out on him. Between the two backs right now, I think I would take Todd Gurley.
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, Todd Gurley is, you know, could be the, you know, right there with Pat Mahomes, one of the top two or three for the MVP. And frankly, Saquon Barkley's probably leading rookie of the year at the moment. So, I mean,
yeah, he's a special player, but he's on a bad team. But
doesn't that make it even more impressive? Because you kind of eyeball. I mean, if were
he's
he on
a glimmer of hope,
right?
Yeah,
right, you know, were he on a good team?
Yeah, I get that. And you're right. But it's like this. Still has what? This be his seventh game in the NFL, something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, still got a little bit of time before I christen him, you know, one of the better backs in the league. Because Ezekiel Elliott and Ty Gurley was kind of like on that same plane.
Right, sure, and Zeke is still a great back.
He's still a good back, but Ty Gurley's kind of taking his game to the next level.
I agree with that, too.
And then Saquon Barkley's kind of like, if Zeke is the second back, Saquon Barkley is kind of right pressed up against him, mm-hmm. if you look at it in those terms. So, yeah. Yeah. He's a good back, though.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player. He's an impact kind of guy. We also have to note that with the injury situation, let's hope that it doesn't come down to a game-winning field goal because you don't have Matt Bryant. But
yeah, that's the scary thing.
But I will say this. Georgia DeVecchio was kind of holding court yesterday. DeVecchio's an Italian, and he was having kind of fun with it,
Was he doing that?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Ask Wendy.
He was doing that?
Oh, yes. He had a full gaggle.
And he was talking like he was an Italian, and he was having a fun. He's from Milan,
himself.
Italy.
They stayed around him for a while yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool then. Okay.
Yeah, he was having fun, Giorgio. But interesting little side story to this was Matt Bryant was asked, Dan Quinn was asked about Matt Bryant and Giorgio DeVecchio, and this is what the coach said.
As I'm getting to know Giorgio more, I'll have trust as we're going. But certainly, yeah, with Matt Bryant in those moments when you know at this space he's, you know, at a very high percentage, I'll still stick to the guns of what we think is the best spot. But, yeah, it definitely will have an effect. And that's not an indictment on Giorgio. I want you to know that. You know, like I want him to be the best version of him and not to come in. Well, Matt would have made it from here. I want him to say, man, like, we're counting on you to be really consistent and do a good job. So, yeah, I wouldn't ask him to do the same exact jobs.
Yeah, right. And you should have seen what he said. You know, Matt would have made it from here. Well, what's your problem there, Giorgio? You know, I'd be, you know, the poor guy. Hey, I will say this. He's got a live leg, and he does have NFL experience, 11 for 16 last year with Oakland. So.
Yeah, but, boy, this is the thing, John. Matt Bryant was like a warm blanket that you would grab.
He was muddy.
Yeah, that when it got a little chilly. Like Giorgio, because we don't know his body of work in certain situations. Okay, let's rewind to the situation in Tampa where you had to kick that 50-something yarder. I don't think I'm rolling Giorgio out there because I don't know him like that.
I agree.
You know what I mean? That's all.
I totally agree.
But the good thing about that, engaging kickers, is that before the game, kickers always, they kick out as far as they can to show you where their range is. And coach has to gauge whether or not he thinks under pressure he can do that. Because you see sometimes, who was the kicker for Green Bay? Mason was out there. He was probably booming them before the game started. Yeah, they're like, oh, hey, we need a field goal. Mason got us today. Until it became that pressure. And Mason went out there and laid a big old stinker. You know what I mean? And
that they history making.
Yeah,
secret.
Yeah. And they wanted to run him out of Green Bay, and he had to come back and redeem himself.
Man, he's the best kicker the Packers have ever had.
Then they almost got ran out of town.
I know, almost ran out of town because of that one bad game. I mean, he'd been doing it for years for them. I mean, he's a great kicker. But
that's what
I would say that, yeah, this will be interesting. And we just, you know, hopefully Giorgio comes in and they don't really need him so much, and Giorgio can fill the role. And hopefully Matt Bryant's only out one game, and that'd be a good thing.
Hopefully. Right.
We have a full slate to talk about here with Matt Ryan coming up here in just a moment. But first things we want to do is give you a chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
race, R-A-C-E. Hugh likes to race on the road in his truck
out there, John.
Well, you're a road racer.
They're looking for me. I don't want them looking for me.
No, I'm talking about when you run.
Yeah, that's fine. But you put the truck in it. Listen, I don't want Georgia's finest looking for me. Oh, Hugh Douglas, I heard you like to race. No, not me. No, sir, officer. The kid. Mm-hmm. No, I ain't trying. I don't need that. I don't need them problems.
Yeah, well, if you drive up with that Hellcat, boom, 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 boom.
Don't tell them what I drive, John.
You said what you drive.
No, I'm just saying, John, making it seem like I'm out here just like as soon
Let's
as I leave.
Hugh's tag number.
I'm just out here like, yeah, like it's like speed racer on the way home. Sometimes
like
it is, but you know. But I don't need nobody looking for me.
RACE to 72881. Race to 72881. Message your data rates may apply. You have till the top of the hour to text race to 72881. Do not text and drive. Hopefully win $1,000. Make your Friday up. We're talking about the Falcons here. Matt Ryan yesterday talking about, we said the good, the bad, and injuries. We don't know quite yet about Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley. It's kind of touch and go. Hopefully they get better over the weekend. Hopefully one or at least maybe both going to be out there. Matt Ryan talking about the other guys who've had to step up, the Hardys, the Gages of the world, about the fill-ins for those two.
That's the case in this league, is that you never know when it's going to be your turn, your opportunity. So you always have to be prepared and ready to go. And those guys have been. I thought all three of them that you mentioned, whether it's Russ Gage or Marvin Hall or Justin Hardy, you know, those three guys all did a great job when their number was called this past Sunday. And that's what we expect from them. You know, that's what we, you know, that's what we train for all the time throughout the year and through the week is that when things happen like that, you're prepared and you're ready to go.
Yeah, all right, so we'll see. And we've seen Marvin Hall make big plays for the Atlanta Falcons, especially over the top. And so it's going to be so much focus here, Hugh, on Julio versus Odell. But maybe you get that Marvin Hall moment where he, you know, kind of breaks one off on a post pattern and gets deep. And we've seen it before. No reason it can't happen again.
You never know. That's what we're hoping for. Hoping for is a good game Monday. Real, real good game.
Well, we now know who the worst team in the NFL is, where Nick Bosa might be living in a few months. Because of what happened last night, the worst team in the NFL reared its ugly head, and boy, was it bad. Really, a lot of big games of college football, too. It's actually a really good weekend of football. All right, we're going to get into a lot of the NFL stuff here in just a moment, but we have encountered in the commercial break here, welcome back to The Morning Show with John and Hugh, a bit of a unique problem. That is that apparently we got ahead of ourselves on our co-word of the hour, okay? So the co-word of the hour is not what it was, what I said it was. It's not that you can't trust me. You can trust me. We just had to make sure that we were double-checking it. So the co-word is actually unique, okay? No. It's unique. U-N-I-Q-U-E. Unique, okay? So the word is unique, U-N-I-Q-U-E, to the top of the hour. Unique, right? All right. We got that all right? Everybody good? Unique. All right, good. So let's get to the NFL here. The fact is, we do have a big week ahead, but let's just kind of touch a little bit on what happened last night. I said going into this game last night, Vance Joseph would have been fired this morning if Denver had lost. And I stand by that. Denver didn't, by the way. They snapped their four-game skid.
Ooh,
because we now know you for definitively who. It's not the Colts. You know, it's not the San Francisco 49ers without Garoppolo. It's not even the Raiders. The worst team in the NFL, by far, the Arizona Cardinals.
Right now. Still got a lot of football left to be played, but yes. And you know, to add insult to injury, John, Von Miller came out before the game and basically said he was going to whoop their tushy and made good on his promise. Said, you can take that to the bank. He said, you can go tell him I said it. And made good on that promise.
Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals are awful.
Yeah, pretty bad. Pretty bad football team, man. It was one of those games where, you know, after a while it was like, okay, there's nothing else to see here. This butt whooping. That Arizona took
at home,
and
by the Broncos.
Yeah, Case Keenum got off the schneid. He was taking a lot of heat. He's getting a lot.
Well, if you just heard the score, you would have thought that Denver had lit it up. Denver won the game in Arizona, 45-10. Okay, 45-10. Arizona just now 1-6, but Denver had. You know how many yards in offense Denver had? Barely 300.
That was defense. That was the defense.
Because their defense had a pick six. Oh, and then they had another pick six. Oh, and then they had a fumble recovery that put them on a short field. I mean, Denver didn't have to do a whole lot offensively. But Arizona only had a couple hundred yards in offense. And Josh Rosen, you know, right now this is what happens, Hugh. I mean, this
– young quarterback.
You know what Josh Rosen is? Josh Rosen is this year's Jared Goff. Remember when Jared Goff had his first
struggling.
Oh, he was just awful.
But the good thing about – Josh Rosen struggles as opposed to, say, like a Sam Darnold, or I would even probably put a Baker Mayfield in that category, is the fact that he plays for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and no disrespect to anybody that's an Arizona Cardinals fan, it's not the big stage like it is for Sam Darnold. And, you know, there's pressure on him, but it's not as great as it would have been if he would have been, say, like in New York or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would even venture to say Cleveland with the quarterback woes that they've had. So he's in a pretty good spot as far as going through growing pains. They've been looking for a quarterback for a while. You know, I mean, as far as like trying to get one that's theirs and groomed. They've tried Carson Palmer.
Yeah. They've tried, you know, Sam Bradford.
I'm talking about their own quarterback.
Their own quarterback, yeah, right. You know, they tried the Matt Leinart thing. I mean, it's been a minute.
It's been tough.
And they've got a new head coach in Steve Wilkes. And
Steve on the hot seat.
Well, he's brand new. I mean, don't you got to give him a year?
Yeah, well, you do, but you know how this business works, John. If it looks – right now, sad to say, but it looks like he's in over his head. Like, that's what it kind of feels like. You know, just watching a little bit of the game last night, because that was kind of – like, blowouts like that, beatdowns, they're kind of tough to watch. But I got this sense that it felt and it looked like, just on the surface, not trying to, you know, any indictments on the man, but it's just like he was in a little bit over his head. A little bit.
Yeah, well, and the Cardinals are, you know, the good thing is, if you're a Cardinal fan, you want them tanking now, because you're thinking, you know, Ed Oliver, Nick Bosa, whoever the number one defensive player is, right?
Oh, you already got Nick Bosa going to
Well, yeah, I mean, at the moment here, you know.
There's still a lot of football left to play, and maybe they'll get off the snot. There's still that pride
factor. Let's hope not, because we got to play them in week 14.
Well, when you say get off the snot, that's a long time from now, though, John. They can let them win some games in between now and then. And let them win a couple in between now and then, John.
Yeah, I don't want to have to have that happen. Talking about the NFL as we go into a busy weekend. Look at all these big games here. I'm just going to – because we'll do some of these in the Pick 6 segment in the 9 o'clock hour. But you have the Panthers at the Eagles. And think of the implications of that for Philadelphia and for Carolina. You have the Saints and the Ravens. And the Ravens have been playing great football, and we know the Saints are the second-best team. You can jump in on these in a moment. Just let me list a couple of them. Patriots at Bears. We know how big that one's going to be, right? Cowboys, Redskins, suddenly the NFC East is up for grabs. And the Bengals and Chiefs. I mean, Hugh, we've got so many good races. One of the things that's true about the NFL, just broadly before we get into these games, is I've been mentioning it. Look, the Falcons are still very much alive, and if they can win on Monday night, they're going to be very much in this thing despite everything that's happened here, because at the moment, the Redskins sit in the number three spot in the NFC in the playoffs. They're number three. It goes Rams, Saints, Redskins at the number three seed, and the Redskins have three wins. The Falcons are at 13th, but they have two wins, so they're only one win back. That means all these games are magnified, all right? So you have the Panthers and Eagles, for example, one of the games that we'll pick. The Panthers and Eagles, how important suddenly is this? You know, Philadelphia's coming, you know, they got to get turned around. They got to make a run. Carolina doesn't want to lose contact with the Saints.
Yeah, and it's all, you know, that's why, you know, as bad as it was, it felt last week going into the game against Tampa last week for the Falcons. Everything is still kind of in front of you. Now, you might not have that double-digit win season, but you can still potentially make it to the playoffs. But the unfortunate thing is that when you look at the defense, hopefully by that time, you know, hopefully the dust has settled on the whole injury bug thing, and you can just get that continuity going. Hopefully you get Grady Jarrett back, and he's playing well, and you can go into whatever the season holds for you with a group that has had some time together. That's the biggest thing right now, John, is having a group together, guys in that secondary and on that defensive line, that you can kind of, you know, build some cohesiveness with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest issue that the Falcons have right now, is that they don't have a cohesive unit on that defensive side of the ball.
I agree. And I will tell you this, that Dan Quinn addressed this a little bit yesterday with Deion Jones. We saw Deion, he was playing, you know, ping pong yesterday, kind of jumping around. Deion looks like, just eyeballing him, you know, that he looks like he could be, you know, somebody who could play right now. Now, obviously he can't. He's on the injured reserve list. But he's, you know, somebody that maybe, you know, could be back. And when we think about him coming back after that game against Cleveland, that could happen.
Part of the process is on target in terms of what the doctor's guidelines are. It's a little trickier in terms of the guidance, because there's a window that you can use. You don't necessarily have to use all of it. So as we're getting closer to there, I'll give you an update. But at this point, he's onto an excellent trajectory of where we expected him to be at this point.
Yeah, so excellent trajectory. In other words, I'm going to put words in his mouth. Deion's going to be back, and he's going to be fine, and he's going to be playing. And so you can get Grady healthy this week and Shelby healthy this week against the Giants. You got your off week. Then you got the Redskins and Browns. And after that Browns game, guess what? Here comes Debo. And so, you know, this is what we're looking for, is the team to start to get healthy and start to have positive energy going forward.
Yeah, and to have Deion Jones back in that middle, that would be great, because now you get to move – everybody else gets to move back to their natural spot. Devondre Campbell gets to go back to his position. Duke Riley gets to go back to his. And on top of that, Duke Riley gets that pressure taken off of him, because he's been on a lot of pressure.
He's played, and
to his credit, he stepped up to it. He stepped up to it. He's not Deion, but he stepped up to it. I know somebody on Twitter sent me a meme a couple days ago. Was talking about when they were coming through the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody yelling at Duke Riley, tighten up. He was yelling at him, tighten up. Duke Riley has played well under the circumstances. And I know sometimes it's hard for fans to see that, because we're so used to – see, it's like when you see professional athletes, you think professional, you think all problems are solved because you got that professional in front of your name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's learning as well. He was learning on the fly. He's learning a different position. And to his credit, he didn't turtle up and shy away from the challenge. He accepted it, and he went through his growing pains, and I think he became a better player for it.
And I want to go back to another point about this. And I know that some fans get really frustrated with me because they're like, you bandwagon driving, Kool-Aid drinking, optimist, you know, body.
Don't you ever change, John Freeman.
Don't you realize the season's over?
Don't let people put pressure on you.
No, it's not. I mean, I'm just refuse to die. I do not quit. It's just in my blood here.
It's funny,
but
too.
But you know what? But it's okay, maybe a little bit. But, you know, one of the things that's true about what you have seen, and you preach this, because if you look at the losses to the Bengals and the Steelers, for example, when it comes to start taking, look, 9-7 could very well make the NFC wild card, and that means tiebreakers. That's where the Bengals and Steelers games are far less important than the Giants and the Redskins because of the conference record.
Yeah, it's a lot of conference games coming up, and you got one coming this week. The thing about this game coming up this week, now you know that the Giants are in a little bit of pressure. You know, they're in a little bit of pressure.
A little?
Yeah, they're in a little bit of pressure. And then you look at the way that they lost that game to Carolina. Oh, that was ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got the owner of the team sitting down with Odell Beckham Jr. They're having a tete-a-tete. They're having a tete-a-tete.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to come in here, and they're going to be trying to get a win.
No doubt.
And so you got to be locked and loaded, man. You got to be locked and loaded.
And there's going to be a blackout, but there'll also be a lot of blue because those Giants fans, they run thick, Q. I know.
I don't even feel like being bothered with no Giants fans this week.
I know.
I really don't.
I know, but you're going to see them.
But you know what? No,
and man, G-Man, hey, Big Blue.
Surprised there's a lot of women that are Giants fans. Why, I don't know. I'm just saying there is. There's a lot of women that are Giants fans.
17th annual Taste of Atlanta returns this weekend. 92.9 The Game's going to be there. The must-do beer, food, and wine festival. Today through Sunday in the 4th Ward Park, the historic 4th Ward Park, today through Sunday. Tickets and info, 92.9thegame.com on our events page. When we get back, can the Hawks get their first scratch win of the year tonight? We'll look ahead to the game in Memphis. With Johnny Neal on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win.
The game's national signing bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons, of course, Monday night. We do want to give you this kind of quick update here with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. That if you're going to be going to the game, there are two things you need to know. One is that, of course, the tailgate's going to be, according to Coach, the tailgate in the night will be lit, according to Dan Quinn.
No, it's going to be lit, no question about it.
It is a blackout, so do wear black. Though I am not a I have to admit that the black thing, when they first – we didn't have black hue till they showed up at the Georgia Dome, and they came out in the all-black helmets with the white sketched Falcon, Deion Jones running up and down the field, and Jerry Glanville, the whole man in black thing stuff happening. And it was pretty cool when I first saw it. But as I grew older, I really reminisce and I miss the red helmet, black Falcon, red jersey, silver britches that I kind of grew up with. But nonetheless, it's going to be a blackout.
Man, I get it. I get it. But it's something about that mystique of wearing like black. Because I remember when we did it at the Philadelphia Eagles, we wore black jerseys, green pants and with the green helmet, and it's just it's like an intimidating color. It really is. And to be able to do that in that environment and have the place loud and hostile, that's intimidating to some people. I think it was what Iowa State, the Cyclones, did it like last weekend. Iowa State, that's Dave Archer's. No, they had on all black. They had the blackout at Iowa State. It was pretty dope.
Beat West Virginia.
Yeah, it was dope just to see, because that's not one of their primary colors.
No, it's not.
It's not
they
at
are
all.
Red and gold.
Yes, and for them to have on all black, I was like, man, that looks dope. It's just something about that and being a football player and the whole imposing your will defensively on somebody is like it's something about doing that.
Well, let's hope they can impose their will. It is a blackout. The Tailgate is going to be great. If you haven't been down, and Monday night's going to be your first time to get out of the Home Depot backyard, it is a lot of fun.
Home Depot backyard is dope.
It is really nice.
It's dope.
I couldn't believe how nice it was. And, of course, you make your way over to the Wave 4 tailgate show, and that'll all be, in the afternoon, late afternoon, leads you to the Bud Light countdown to kickoff at 6:15 with you and Mike at the AT&T Perch. And then at 8:15, West Dave and John Michaels on the call from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, by the way, if you can't make it to the game, the official watch party will be up off Hog Mountain Road in Flowery Branch at Hometown Grill beginning at 7:15. All the prizes, the cheerleaders, Freddie the Falcon, and more. That's when you go into Hometown Grill there in Hog Mountain is probably a mile and a half maybe from the Falcons facility. You know, we get off at Spout Springs there at exit 12,
mm-hmm.
and then you go out and you take a little right there at the corner at the first light. And
you know what you think about going out there?
No, I'm not driving out. There.
Yeah, I was about to say, John.
My house, I say this, my house, Hugh, is closer to downtown Chattanooga than it is to Flowery Branch, okay?
West Islamabad, yeah, I know. You tell me, talk about that all the time.
I would like, it would be easier if the Falcons facility were in, next to the Tennessee Aquarium.
Look,
me.
We're not going there. We have one team up there. Stop.
Well, that with the Hawks, that's right. I remember those days, Isaiah Ryder. I remember those days, yeah, JR. The Hawks play in Memphis tonight. Our coverage begins with a pregame show and Andy Bunker at 7:30. Tip is at 8 from FedEx Arena in Memphis as the Hawks take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis didn't win its opener either, but the Hawks are 7.5-point underdogs in the game tonight. And look, you can't give up 49 points in a quarter. Hugh, say what you like about the turnovers. Say what you like about it being a young team, or maybe they don't have John Collins. But you got to play defense to some degree. You cannot give up 49 points in a quarter.
A little bit. Yeah, that second quarter was the one where Tim Hardaway Jr. realized that he missed Atlanta and he wanted to make everybody pay that they let him go. That's all I could think of, AT, when I saw that. When he came out there and you saw him beating on his chest and yelling and screaming, I was like, man. He mad because he got traded. He mad he got traded.
He gave Kent Bazemore some work.
What? And then he was out there. You could see his face. He's like, yeah. What?
Hey, how about that Uno tournament? Here's a pick four card.
Well, I'll tell you what. Tonight is the game I'm projecting they will win because I'm looking at the schedule for the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
These games don't get any easier. They're at Cleveland on Sunday, open the new building on next Wednesday against Dallas, then face Chicago. Also at home, and then travel to Philadelphia.
I get you, but
we got to get this one tonight.
What scares you about Cleveland?
They're veterans. They're veteran teams. That's it. I mean, that's the thing that when you look at this young team, they're gonna if they might not have the team that they're playing might not be the most talented, but they work well together. They're the veteran squad because you saw some. You saw some rookie mistakes out there. You saw a lot of rookie mistakes out there last night. So the other night, excuse me. So that's what you're looking at. And you're just looking at a team that's trying to find its way right now.
Look, and Tristan Thompson tried to tell you, LeBron's not there anymore. He's now the guy.
Okay.
We'll see about that.
Okay. Go date a Kardashian. All right. So this happened. I saw this last night. Now, I wish Daryl were here because he's a sneakerhead. But I saw this and I went, really? Boogie Cousins has a new shoe deal, okay? He's wearing Puma.
Puma used to be hard, though, back in the day with Ralph Sampson. Remember Ralph Sampson?
It's coming back, though, with Kylie Jenner.
Only NBA player to do so. I think one of the top draft picks.
Wait a minute, hold up now. Kylie Jenner is not bringing Puma back. I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to be a chauvinist or sexist or any of that, but come on now. She's not bringing, I've seen her ass. Come on. No, she ain't bringing Puma back. She can't be the one that's bringing
Puma
back. She's
had a deal with them for
a
couple years now.
That's irritating to me.
Well, here's why Puma's coming back. Jay-Z has been involved with them of late, John. And Marvin Bagley III.
I don't know. It just sounds weird. I mean, what are we going to get Reebok in the NBA?
Reebok used to be big.
I'm just saying, coming back. LA Gear going to come back?
No, that's a shoe.
That's a stretch.
That won't be back.
How about Keds?
That's a stretch. That's a stretch, John. That's a stretch.
If you didn't have any shoe contract and you're in the NBA, what would you wear? What brand?
Nike.
Jordan.
You're wearing Nike.
If you're allowed to wear Jordan brand, because it's only the elite players get to wear Jordan brand. Well, that's how it used to be.
I wear Jordan every day.
No, I'm saying not you, AT. We know how you get down.
Are Chuck still in the NBA? Does Converse have any of it?
Converse is owned by Nike. Yeah. going by Nike.
Yeah. Get some Chuck Taylors. I might do those or PF Flyers.
Love
they
Chuck.
Used to have some Sweet Lou's back in the day. I got a pair of Sweet Lou's. The Sweet Lou's were a sweet little pair of shoes.
All my mom ever bought me when I was a kid were PF Flyers.
But I'm still amazed you were bagging on Puma.
I was just surprised. I didn't realize they were back. I thought they were a dead brand.
Somebody told me Puma ain't never been hard. The Ralph Sampsons, the black and red Ralph Sampsons, those were a hard shoe. They were nice. Nobody's. Can I get an
A? I don't remember the
Ralph. You don't remember the Ralph Sampsons?
No. I remember the Clydes.
I don't remember the Ralph Sampsons either. I remember the Clydes. I saw that and I went, Puma's back? Since when is Puma back in the, you know, because it just didn't sound right, you know? And
I can't believe y'all don't remember the Ralph Sampsons.
Oh, as a matter of fact, to that end, Puma landed 4 of the top 15 picks from this year's draft.
Okay, all right. Okay, there you go. I was just surprised when I saw that. I went, Puma's there? Okay. I thought that was like LA gear gone.
As I look at the Ralph Sampsons now, as an older man,
uh-huh.
He might have the person that just tweeted me that might have a point. They weren't that young. They were hard when I was young, though.
What are the Falcons' real odds of making the playoffs? Where do they stand, like in the NFC and in the NFC South? And what do those teams this week face? We'll kind of break that down for you. Some more sound too from yesterday, talking about this big game against the Giants. It's all ahead and around the corner. On this busy Friday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 on the game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.